Now, the third tzad was, V'im tim tzulayim, if you want to tell me, shano, that tavayo dafka, that really you have to say both. Peri peris and adolam. So maybe you could ask me, tati lamali, what kind of svar is that? Why should you have to write down both? So I'll tell you, yes, tzricha, there's a reason why you should have to write down both. The cost of law periperis for the cost of law adolam. If the husband only wrote, I don't want to have to do with your periperis, the second degree, and he did not write forever. Habamin, I would have thought that periperis who the law yochel. He can't eat the second degree of peris that he can't eat. Ah, well, peri the periperis ochel. Maybe the third degree. When from the second property she bought, also she has leftover fruits, and she sells it and gets money, and buys a third karka, maybe the fruits of that third karka, maybe you could eat. Therefore, the husband has to write clearly, forever, I'm giving up my rights to eat your fruits forever. Now, because of lo adolam, if the husband would only write the words, I'm giving up the rights to eat the fruits forever, because of lo periperis, he would not eat the word, the right, write the words of periperis. Habamin, I would have thought like this. He only means to say, I'm giving up the rights to eat the first degree of fruits forever. But maybe a second degree, that's like a new parsha. For that he never gave up. That's why the husband maybe has to write even the words of periperis. So we see he's not only talking about the first degree, he's even talking about the second degree. And now if he writes adolam, then for sure it means forever. That's why we have still a doubt. Exactly, what's trying to view in the Mishnah? Which way do you have to write? What's the main point? Is periperis alone enough? Is adolam alone enough? Or maybe really you have to have both of them? And the Gemara explains all the reasons why each one of these, and the Gemara doesn't come out to an answer. For really applies by a shiloh, what exactly is bedafka according to Rabbi Yehuda? Now the Gemara calls a shiloh, boy lihu. Kosav lo dinu dvorim ainli b'nichsecho uveperiperis. The husband writes to his wife, again like our Mishnah, Boi Darusa, when they only had Erisin, that I don't want to have to do with your property, and Periperis, I don't want to have to do with the second degree of Peris. But he did not mention Uva Periseim. He did not talk about the first degree of the Peris. He did not give up his rights, clearly, that I'm not going to eat the fruits that grow out of your property. As only Mashmi said, I'm giving up the rights to eat the fruits that grow out of the second property that you buy. Says so, mahu sheyecho peiros. Is the husband allowed to eat the fruits that grow out of her property? What's the doubt? Mi peir peiros alak nafshe. Maybe, well, like he said, he only gave up his rights not to eat the second akarka from the second property, not to eat its fruits. But mi peiri lesalak nafshe. But from the first property that she really yashin from her father, that property maybe she never gave up the rights. He never gave up the rights. Teach the fruits. He only said periperis, but not mi perisayim. Or Dilma, maybe no. The other side of the doubt is mikol mili solak nafshe. No, still what he meant to say by periperis is a shortcut. For sure, he meant to give up his rights. Teach the peris. Just a shortcut to say I'm giving up my rights. Teach everything. Not only the peris, even the periperis. And maybe for sure the husband also meant to give up his rights of even eating the fruits out of the property that she really yashins from her father. So that's the shiloh. So Gemara says, Pshita, there's no question, like for sure, that the Mikol Mili Solak Nashe, for sure the husband gave up his rights from everything. Why? Diyam Ritmi Peri Peri Solak Nashe, if you want to tell me you only gave up his rights to eat from the fruits, I would tell you, from Mi Peri Peris. He only gave up his rights, teats from the second degree, from the second land that she buys. But mi peri l'solak nashim, if you want to tell me from the first property that she inherited from her father, those fruits he does not give up. So the question is, kivin the achlinu l'peris, if the husband has the right to eat those fruits, so he eats all the fruits up. So if so, peri peris mecha, where do we have the case now that she buys the second property? The old case was that there's leftover fruits, where the husband does not eat the first fruits, so she sells them, and with the money she buys herself a new property. But if you told me the husband has the right to eat all the fruits that grow out of her property that she inherited from her father, so there's no money left over, so there's no way for her to get the second property, there's no way to have periperis. So what do you mean the husband's saying, I'm not going to eat the periperis? It never comes about. So for sure what the husband meant to say is, I'm giving up my rights for more the peris. Someone says, no, that's not a kasha. Well, the time, according to your reasoning, ho de tana, that we learned. Rabbi Yehuda Roimer, liyoy lamuwaicho periperis, he could always eat peripheris until he says clearly he's giving up his rights for peripheris. In other words, even though he gave up the Mishnah, he like the first case is where the husband gave up his right not to eat the peris. Still it says what? If you hold that he's allowed to eat the peripherisayim? So the question is, kivin the achlin le peri, since lemaisa the wife has the right to eat these peris, so if she eats up the peris, peripheris mecha, where is the peripheris? Like it's a kashan and Rabbi Yehuda. How does the wife have money again to sell, to buy new property? Like Lechura, even though the husband gave up his rights to eat the fruits, so if he doesn't eat it, she's going to eat it. For Lechura, she's going to eat all the fruits. So there's going to be no money left over. There's no way for her to buy more property. So what does Abudah mean to say that from the second property that she buys, those fruits he's allowed to eat? Ella, what do you have to tell me? Bidishaira, Poshe, they were talking about she inherited a big orchard from her father, that it gives off a lot of oranges, a million oranges, and she can't eat them. So even though she has the right to eat them, she could eat a certain amount, but the leftover she sells, and with that money, she buys property. So I'll tell you, Hachinami b'dishayir, even if you want to tell me the husband has the right to eat the peris, the pshat is he could eat as much as he wants, but let's say, like we said, there's a million oranges there, so then we say the leftover oranges that he cannot eat, that he's supposed to sell, and the money, she's supposed to buy more property, and from that property, he could also eat peris. So that's the case, you would have peripheris. So if it's possible to say the husband only meant to ask the peripheris, but not the perisayim, the perisayim he's allowed to eat. And the question was, if he's allowed to eat the peris, so how do we ever have a case of peripheris? The Torah says where there were a million oranges. So even though he's allowed to eat, he could eat as much as he could eat, but the leftover that he can't eat, that he has to sell, and that money goes back to the wife, and with that money she buys herself more property, and that's how we have peripheris. Therefore, we're not pushing our shiloh. If the husband just writes, I don't want to eat the peripheris, what's the loch? Is he still allowed to eat the peris or not? That's philosophic. Then the Mishnah says weiter, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he argues and says, that if the husband gives up his rights for Yerusha, nothing doing, he can't be masna mashikosa b'teru. So Gemara says, Omar Rav said, that halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. We really pass like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But Yishnov lemi tamei, not with his reasoning though. Now the Gemara explains, what did Rav mean to say? My halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel v'loy mitamei. What do you mean to say the halacha is like a Shimon ben Gamliel, that if the husband makes it tonight to give up his right to yashin his wife when she dies, nothing doing. He still yashins her, but not for the same reasoning. What's the new reasoning? Elaine, if you want to tell me halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the yomer im meisa yirashenu, that if his wife dies, still he yashins her, he inherits her. Love me, tamei, and not because of his reasoning. Why? The ilu of Shimon Gamliel Savar must not mashkosa batera tonight bottle. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself holds that if you make a tonight a condition against what the Torah says, nothing doing, the tonight is bottle. Even by a double sheb mammon, even though there's a machlokes about this, one by the yomad says that by money matters, you have a right to be masna mashikosa batera because it's not worse than a regular mechila that you're giving up your rights for the money. Still, I'll tell you, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds not like that. He holds that a person can't be master mashkosa b'teira even by bedinim amnis. So, what do you mean v'loy mitamei? What do you mean not from his reasoning? Tilu Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel sava master mashkosa b'teira tenai botol for Rav sava tenai kaim, and Rav holds no, the tenai is kaim. So, if the tenai is kaim, why is the loch like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel then? The husband has a right to make this tonight. He should not be able to yashin his wife anymore. I tell you, Ksava, maybe Rav holds, Yerushas Habad Rabbonin. That the husband yashins his wife is only Midi Rabbonin. It's not Midi Raisa. The pasuk of Yorush Oysa means something else. It's only Nasmach, it's only Midi Rabbonin that a husband yashins his wife. And I'll tell you, maybe Rav holds, V'chachomim Osu Chizik L'divrayim Yoysa Mishotera. That Rabbanan made very strong their halachas more than the way the Torah says the halachas. In other words, if it would have been a midiraisa, Rav would really hold, you could make a tanai against what the Torah says in Dinim Amnis. But since Yerusha Sabal is only midirabbanan, and the Rabbanan made it very strong to say you can't annul what we say. If we say the husband yashins his wife, there's no way the husband can make it that he does not yashin his wife. That's the pshat that Rav passed to the Gershom Ragam Leel. The husband is not allowed to make a Tanai against the Yerusha to Yashin his wife, but not for the same reasoning. The Shimon Gamil holds, even though it's Midiraisa, you can't make a Tanai. And I'll tell you, Rav holds no, that if Yerusha Sabah would have been Midiraisa, then you could make a Tanai. But the reason why you can't make a Tanai, because since it's only Midirabonin, the Rabbonin made a Chizik Lidurayim. Maybe that's Pshat and Rav. So Nista Gemara is that true? The Sava Rav, does Rav really hold Tanai Kayim? That if you make a Tanai against what the Torah says, that Tanai is good? For Yitma, we learned like this. If somebody says to his friend, I don't want the din of Aino of Al Toinu to apply to our sale. In other words, Midiraisa the Dalacha, when you sell something, you're not allowed to jip the person. You're not allowed to charge him more than a sixth of its price. You can't gain a sixth. The Dalacha is, if you charge exactly a sixth more, the sale is chal, but you're over the lav of Al Toinu. If you charge more than a sixth, then the sale is bottled. The person has a right to say, nothing doing, I don't want this sale. So what about if I sell something to you and I tell you clearly, you should know, this pen is really worth 50 cents, but I'm going to charge you now $10 for it. And I don't want it, didn't I know to apply. So what's the halacha? Rav Oma Yeshli Olav Eino, Rav says nothing doing, the Tanai can't help you. You be master Mashkosu Vatoru, there's still Hilchos Eino here. If the person wants to retract and says that I don't want this sale to go through, you charge me too much, he has a right to. Shmuel says no. Since you made a Tanai, you made a condition, and it's the din imamnis. The Tanai is chal, so therefore the sale goes through. There's no din imamnis here. But like a kopon, when we see Rav is the one that says that midiraisa, you cannot make a Tanai. Since so, what did Rav mean to say? Like a Shmuel Gamlio, v'loy mitamei. Lechurav, this is the reasoning. It's exactly the same reasoning that Rav Shmuel Gamlio said. That the halacha is a husband cannot make a condition against the Yerusha Sabal, because since it's Midiraisa, you can't be master Mashkosa Batera. So why did Rav say, like, not Mitanei? So Gemara says, Elo the Pshat is like this. Elo halacha Gershima Megamliel Diyama Master Mashkosa Batera Tanei Botel. That's like a true. But Vloy Mitanei, not from his reasoning. Dilu Gershima Megamliel Sava Mesa Yerushenu. If she dies, true, the husband yashins his wife. But Varav saw, Varav holds though, Mesa, when she dies, lo yirishenu, he does not yashin his wife. That's what Rav holds. He does not yashin his wife. Why? Could be so just the opposite. Because since it's only the Rabbonin, in the Rabbonin's talk, he could make a tonight to go against what the Rabbonin said. So therefore, this tonight does help. For the Gemara, but that can't be pshat in Rav. For the Gemara is so high, mi taimei v'loy kilchasu. That's the same reasoning, but a different halacha. And Rav said no, just the opposite. Rav said the halacha is like a Shimon and Gamliel, but for different reasoning. So this can't be pshat in Rav. El the pshat is like this: halacha k'rab Shimon and Gamliel. The Yoma that he says he may saw Yerushenu. True, even though the husband made a condition, he does not want a yashin his wife when she dies. Still, when she dies, he yashins his wife. That's from Shimon Gamliel's halacha, and Rav agrees to that. But for lav mitamei, not for his reasoning. Di'ilu Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because Reb Shimon ben Gamliel himself holds sava b'diraisa tanai botel. That in a diraisa dik halacha like Yerusha Saba, which is a diraisa, the tanai is botel. You can't make a tanai against what the Torah says. Therefore, when your wife dies, you yashin her. Ha b'dirabonin, but if it would have only been a din in the rabbonin tonight kayim, then you could make it tonight to go against what the rabbonin says. For Rav Sov, but Rav holds afilu b'dirabonin tonight bottom. Even in the rabbonin dekalocha, the tonight is also bottom. Maybe that's what Rav meant to say. For the Gemara, that again doesn't make any sense. Ha'kitamei ukiyuchasei who? No, Rav is agreeing 100% from Shimon Gamliel. He say mamish the same halacha with the same time. And Varav Maisavu, Rav is only adding a little bit more. Rav is only adding that not only because Yerusha Sabal is the Eraisa, but even if it would have been with the Rabbonin, it would also be the same halacha. That in the Rabbonin's also you can't be master Mashkos of a Torah. But it's not called Vlav Mitaimei. He agrees to the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So that can't be pshat in what Rav meant to say. So Mora says like this, Elo halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. True. The Yoma that he says in Mesi Yerushenu, if the person's wife dies, the husband has a right to yashin her. For lav mitamei, but not for his reasoning. He holds the pasuk says, "V'yorash oisa." That's midiraisa. A husband yashins his wife. V'chol hamasna mashikosa b'Torah tonight bottle. That's the klal. Whenever you're making a tonight to go against what the Torah says, the tonight talk is bottle. But I tell you, v'rav sov a rav holds yerushas habald rabbonin. Rav holds no yerushas habald only midrabbonin. V'chachomim osu chizuk ledivrayim kishal Torah. And the Rabbanan made a chizik in their dinim like the Torah. In other words, just like Midiraisa. Rav also holds that Yemasna Mashkosa Batera Tanai is bottle. But just that he says Lav Mitaimei is not for the same reasoning. Because Rav Shimon Megamil holds that Yerusha Sabal is Midiraisa. That's the reason why you can't make a Tanai against it. Rav says that's not the reason why you can't make a Tanai against the Yerusha Sabal. Because it's only Midirabbanan. So what's the reason why you can't make a Tanai not to Yashin your wife? Is because Midirabon and also they made a chizik like a din Torah. For the Gemara now, is this true of a Rav Sabah? Does Rav really hold Yerusha Sabah the Rabbanan? Does Rav really hold that that's when you yashin your wife, it's only Midirabonin? For your Tanan, we learned like this. Reb Yechonim Mabruk Weimer, Ha Yerusha Sishta, if somebody yashins his wife, Talachar is Yachslof Ne Mishpocha. Rashi says when it comes Yovel, you have to give back the property that you yashin from your wife, you have to give it back to her family. But v'yinakala min adamim, you let her charge the family for money, but take off some money, v'yinakala, give it a little bit cheaper to them, give the property back to them a little bit cheaper. Now v'vinabo, we have a kasha on this, what's going on here? Micah Sava. What does Rabbi Yechonim and Baruch hold? Micah Sava. Ika Sava, if he holds Yerusha Sabal di Yeraisa, that a husband yashins his wife mid Yeraisa. See, if so, even by Yovel, Ama Yachzer. Why does he have to give it back when it comes Yovel? The locher is what you yashin from your father, or your Yerusha mid Yeraisa, there's no din Yovel, you don't have to give it back when Yovel comes. Vi di Rabbon, if it's only the Rabbon de Kalocha, so Dama Maya Vidatayu, why do you get back money altogether for it? Mid Rabbon of Aistoy, the locher is you only have it until Yovel. When it comes Yovel, you have to give it back to a family. So why do they have to pay you altogether for? That's the kasha now in Rabbi Yechonim ben Brucha. The Gemara says, V'yom Rav, Rav explained Rabbi Yechonim ben Brucha like this, V'yom Rav, L'yolom k'sav Yerusha Sabal Yeraisa. Really, Rav, really Rabbi Yechonim holds that a husband yashins his wife mid Yeraisa. So then really the husband should keep the property even after Yevil. What's the case talking about over here? Shoherishtoi ishtoi beisakvarus. That your wife inherited from her father the Beis HaKfaris, and when she dies she gives it over to her husband, that the husband has now the Yerusha on the Beis HaKfaris where she is supposed to be buried and where her family was supposed to be buried. So we say it's not nice that their Mishpacha wants to be buried altogether. So since their Mishpacha was buried already in this Beis HaKfaris, we say it's only right now that the husband should sell it back to them. So Amar Rabbanan said, Lishko Demei, take money for it, but for Leheder, it's only right to give it back to them. So then the question is, if really it's yours, so you should have a right to charge the exact amount of money? Or Mayinakalem and Adamim, what do you mean you take off from the money? Why should you give it any cheaper? So Gemara says, what it means to say is, Demei Kev Rishtoi, you're taken off from the Kever, you're taken off from the money of your wife. That's how much the Kfura, the plaque of your wife cost. Because that much is the chiv upon the husband to bury her. So the husband himself has to pay for the place where to bury his wife. So that much you can't charge the mishpacha. For the plaque, the place where you buried your wife, that's upon the chiv, that's the chiv upon the husband to bury her. So for that he can't charge money. But for the rest of the basic course, he has a right to charge money. Kedetanya, like we learned, ha-moiche kivra, if somebody sold a basic course to somebody else, or else his place to be buried. For Derek Kivra, the route to get there, Mamodoy, the place where they stand by their spadim, or Mokum Espedo, the place where they make their spadim. So Locher is Boyim B'nai Mishpachot, his family has a right to come. For Kovra Noisei Bakorcho, and they have a right to bury him in that place that the Nifta sold by force. Why Mishum Pekam Mishpacha? There's such a Shvar as Mishpacha. Since the rest of the Mishpacha was buried there, and they want the whole family to be buried in one place, so even though one person, when he was alive, sold away his place in the basic course to somebody else, when the person dies, we go back korcha and take away that place. We take a place back, and then achlami, we pay back the money to the person. Rakoponim, you see such a yisoid, that even though you really, he sold his place in the basic course, But midrabbanan, though, there's a svar for gamishpacha to get it back. So that's a svar here also. Even though Yerusha Sabal is midiraisa, and midiraisa, the husband has a right to hold on to this base akvaris, midrabbanan, though, we say mishum pegamishpacha, you're supposed to sell it back to a mishpacha. Rakopon and Makashan Rav is, before we saying Rav holds Yerusha Sabal is only midrabbanan. And over here we say no, that Rav holds Yerusha Sabal is midiraisa. So Gemara answers Pasha, I'll tell you Rav Litai Medu Rav Yechlin Abruka Kamar. For Leiloi Sirulei. Rav over here was only explaining what does Rav Yechlin Abruka himself hold. That Rav Yechlin Abruka himself holds Yerusha Sabal is midiraisa. But Enechnami, Rav himself could hold that Yerusha Sabal is only midirabonin. So therefore that's what's good, what Rav said before, Halachas Kavashimah Ben Yamliel, but Vulei Mitai Mei. His time is because Master Mashkos of a terrorist and I bought him. My reasoning is, no, it's only Midrabbanan Yerusha Sabal. But even though it's only Midrabbanan, still there's a Svara, Rabbanan Medatakana, Kiein Adiraisa. Alright, we'll stop here.